Time to bring in our guest. We haven't seen him for a while. It's been a long time, actually, since the Taxman has been over to the Cambridge 105 studios. But John Burling is with us this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, everybody.
It's been a while, as I say. Now, you want to get interactive and getting involved with the show, your questions will be welcome as well. It's 07919070490. That text number, once again, is studio at cambridge105.co.uk as well on the emails. John will be able to see the screen because I'll pop it up for him while he's talking.
It's blank, it's blank at the moment.
He can press a little button in the corner and he'll be able to see what's going on, what you might have to say as well. He sent me a whole load of figures. I think I've got a bit boss-eyed with them, but there are all sorts of things like the personal allowance, which we all receive. That's if we earn an income in the income tax. And this year, it's £11,500. And the government's been putting it up over recent years. Last year, it was £11,000. Next year, although it has to be approved by the Houses, that is Parliament, of course, it could well be £12,000 next year. But John is here to talk about tax thresholds. He says he's going to keep it nice and light and simple this morning, so we're going to challenge him to that.
Oh, yes. I think it must be remembered that tax makes a lot of headlines, sometimes for the right reasons, sometimes for the wrong reasons. And it's not just tax, because if you're running a business, you've got taxes to think about, you've got national insurance to think about, you might have value-added tax, VAT, to think about. If you're a limited company, you might have corporation tax to think about. But I think for the vast majority of people out there who are in a pay-as-you-earn job, not running a business, probably not owning property that they're renting out, all they've got is a pay-as-you-earn job and that's it. That's where I think tax should be nice and simple.
It's companies and organisations. It's also the private sector, the public sector. We've been talking a lot about the NHS this morning, John. So probably nurses and doctors, they're on the payroll. They may be at our local hospital, Addenbrookes. We've been talking about that. So probably from month to month to month, they don't particularly have any anomalies in their pay or their income. We're not going to argue here whether it's too low or too high for nurses and doctors, but it just means that if regular payments, then the taxman will leave them alone. They probably won't need to do a self-assessment tax return each year.
That's correct. If you're on a yearly salary where you get paid the same salary every month and there's no overtime and it doesn't change, then your tax code is worked out so that you pay the same amount of tax each week or each month. You mentioned the 11,500. That's an amount per year in the current tax year a person can earn. So what the tax allowance scheme does, it says, OK, then, if you divide that by 12, it's £958 a month. So anything above £958, you will then pay tax on. And if that's the same every month and your salary is the same every month, then your tax is the same every month. As an employee, you will also have national insurance contributions to pay as well. Now, you might have other things like a company pension. You might belong to a sports and social club. You might pay into a sort of staff Christmas club. You might belong to a trade union. All those things are things that happen on top. But the main things that people, I think, look at first, how much tax do I pay? How much national insurance do I pay?
And national insurance contributions, you call them NICs, we're sort of breaking down some of the acronyms. And that's paying really towards our state pension in the end. Well, two factors, and the other thing, of course, the government takes the money in for, is to invest and to spend in the National Health Service itself.
The national insurance you pay is a percentage of the wages. So the more you earn, the more national insurance you pay, similar to tax. And national insurance goes towards your own entitlement to benefits and pensions. When you pay tax, it just goes into the box, I suppose, the pot, to pay for schools, roads, hospitals, things like that. But national insurance, you pay under your national insurance number, so that when you come to reach state retirement age, or if a married person passes away, then they leave behind a widow. You've got a bereavement benefit, used to be called widow's benefit. If you're in a situation where you're unemployed and having to sign on, there's job seekers allowance, or you're poorly and cannot work, there's employment support allowance. And the national insurance you pay gives you entitlement to lots of these benefits and pensions. And that's why National insurance, sometimes people dismiss it and think, oh, well, won't worry about that. Let's look at tax because that's important. But national insurance is just as important because it's under your national insurance number for your benefits, for your pensions.
And once you've accrued, to put me right, I believe it's 30 years, that then entitles you towards your state pension when you get to the state pensionable age, which has been going up over the years. I've looked to see what mine is, John, and my good ladies as well. She's got to be 67 now before she retires. I've got to be 66. Of course, it's moving up rapidly for ladies, but it does mean if we put in our national insurance contributions and we've done it for a certain period, that is, I think, 30 years, isn't it?
Means it was we will 30, draw a pension. It's now 35
years. 35 years.
Yes, and basically, it's not 35 continuous years, so you can have a few years where you're a student. You can have a few years backpacking around Europe. So you can have gaps, because from the age of 16 to the age of 68, in my case for my pension, that's over 40-odd years. You don't need every single year. So you can have 35 years, and that will give you entitlement to a full state pension. But it must be remembered again, like a lot of things, pension is changing, because from 2016 they introduced the new state pension. Now, I'm not from the DW Department for Work and Pensions, so I'm not an expert on pensions, but basically it's a new way of calculating it, but the principle is still the same. Your years of national insurance are all added up, and it gives you a final entitlement.
So my working life might be, say, 50 years. As nowadays, it is probably on average about 50 years for people. They might start work at the late teens. Those that don't go to university might work until their late 60s or beyond, of course, nowadays. Yes. There's no ageism in employment, well, at least not so-called. That means people can work till they're, I don't know, 70, 80, 90 years old. They're very entitled to do that, but they can pick up that state pension. And if you're out there working, slaving hard as you listen to the radio this morning, if you go to gov.uk, you can actually put in your date of birth and find out when your state pension will kick in, providing you've got those 35 years of national insurance contributions.
Yes, you mentioned our website. Well, it's not our website, it's the whole government, www.gov.uk. You can just go on to quick pages where you put in your date of birth and it will give you your pension date. Won't tell you your entitlement, just give you your date that you get to state pension age. However, because we're in now the digital world, individuals can set up their own personal tax account on this website, where you have to register with your national insurance number, create a password, you get a 12-digit PID number like a lot of websites, and then that is your account online. And if you do that and you put in state pension forecast, it actually tells you how many years you've already got. It tells you what your entitlement is so far, and it tells you what your entitlement may be, depends on if you carry on working, etc., etc., when you do get to state pension age. So that personal tax account is really useful at the moment.
Can be depressing, I guess, for some people, John, to find out when they're going to have to retire, because I'd imagine, even in my lifetime, you're going to see some people, I'm probably going to be past the post before then, but might well be even 70 before they can retire, because we're all living longer, and we have to find the money. The government has to be able to afford to pay us that, lean on that state pension for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, when you use the word retired used to mean, that's it. Worked, boss, stop work, retired, don't do any more work. Those days are probably long gone, because a lot of people now carry on part-time, term time, things like that. Even the civil service, lots of people carry on working to past 65, past 70. But your state pension, you are entitled to that at your state pension age, and that can be anything between 65 and 68, depends on your date of birth. But at that point, you become what we term a state pensioner. But you don't have to claim and take your retirement pension, because there's lots of people now, as you say, who think, well, I'm fit, I'm healthy, I've looked after myself, I'll carry on working. Then you can decide to defer your state pension, and you actually accrue extra pensions when you do finally take it. Because it must be remembered, state pension is taxable income. So if you carry on working after pension age and you've got a pay-as-you-earn job and you take your state pension, it's all considered taxable income. So it has to be added together to give your taxable due.
Because some people have retired and taken the state pension. They might have a private pension as well, which is paying out for them. They could well be in the tax band and have to fill in a self-assessment each year and pay extra tax.
Yes, self-assessment covers approximately one-third of the people out there. There's lots of people, as we mentioned earlier, pay-as-you-earn job, April to April, no benefits in kind, nothing else. They don't need to be in self-assessment because pay-as-you-earn does its job there. But if you happen to be in a situation where you're self-employed, so you're running your own business, you've not got anyone giving you a salary, but you've got your profits of your business, or you're a director of a limited company where you are deciding your level of income, because you may get what's called dividends as well as salary, or you own property that you rent out, or you've got three or four things, and this is where occasionally pensioners hit this situation, because they've got a pay-as-you-earn job, they've got a state pension, they've got a private pension, they've got a company pension, and all of a sudden, trying to work the tax out on all of four different schemes of income gets complicated. So we work the tax out as best we can, but at the end of the year, we will then say to that person, right, do a self-assessment form, add everything together into one bracket, work out the total tax due on the whole lot, take off what you've already paid, and that should give you a balance to pay, or paid too much, or paid right amount. But it's the best way of working out what the overall tax position is.
No doubt, John, later this year when deadlines come up, there's plenty of time at the moment for people to go online to do the self-assessment tax return. But if you do, still, you're one of less than 10% of people that, of the one-third people that do the SATR, the self-assessment tax return. Yep. Nearly everyone nowadays goes online to do it, but you have until the end of October. If you do the paper version, you have until the end of January, in this case next year, for the 2016-17 year, which finished on the 5th of April, you have until the end of next January to get it online electronically and file it away.
You do. Those are the deadlines, although I spend a lot of time saying to people, do it now, because if you think, I'll leave it till October, then all of a sudden you search around your papers and you realise something's missing. Or you're going to do it on the internet and you leave it to the 28th of January, the 29th of January, the 30th of January. You suddenly leave it and leave it and you're getting close to the
deadline. Near to the midnight hour, yes.
And then you go on the 31st of January, but the only problem then is there's about 500,000 people up and down the country who've had the same thoughts.
The server's being rammed and jammed by others.
So I say to people, do it now, especially if you think you're due a refund, because the quicker you get it into us, the quicker you are due any refund, if a refund is due. So I say to people on self-assessment, yes, there are deadlines, but actually, get it out of the way. Do it now.
So you may be that landlord, and therefore you have income from properties, from rentals, as we said earlier. It might be due to your employment. You might dabble in stocks and shares.
Possibly.
Which means you get dividends. They have to be declared. And as we said earlier on, your company director, your company maybe is making a profit. Therefore, you've been awarding or electing yourself a dividend on the board. That all has to go down on this self-assessment tax return. The other area we haven't spoken about yet, John, is savings. Now, there have been some rule changes in the that was for the last tax year. The first £1,000 of income now, which might be due to savings interest, now that doesn't have to be considered now against tax anymore.
No, I mean, the change actually happened a couple of years ago, because at one point, if you received interest from a bank account, the bank had to deduct tax at 20%. If you were a non-taxpayer, you could fill a form out and say to the bank, look, I'm a non-taxpayer, especially children under 16 where they had children's accounts. No way were they going to be taxpayers. So they filled forms out. The bank didn't then deduct the tax. Or somebody was a 40% taxpayer, but the tax had no facility to deduct 40%. They still had to deduct 20%. So those people would always be in an underpayment of tax situation. So a couple of years ago, it was decided that let's change a system whereby the banks won't deduct tax at all. So now interest is paid and there is no tax deducted at all. But the banks do have a process where they send us the information so that if someone is in a pay-as-you-earn job, we can then adjust their tax code to collect the tax that would have been due on the interest from the bank. So that's the first change which took place, not having it deducted at source. But you're right in what you're saying. Every year the government introduced changes across the board, and from 2016 they said, right, the first £1,000 of taxable income from savings will not be taxable unless you're a higher rate taxpayer.
And at the moment, John, with interest rates so low, I doubt there's any of us really earning more than £1,000 worth of interest on our savings. I'd like to meet that person.
You've
who's
got
actually
to have a lot of savings. Yes. I mean, bear in mind that a few years ago, they introduced ISAs, whereby you can put money in where it wasn't, it's not due to tax, no matter how much the interest is anyway. So they sort of superseded this, if you like. But you're right, interest less low. There must be some people who are paying tax on the interest somewhere along the line. I don't know.
There's some Rockefellers out there somewhere.
But you're right. In principle, the first £1,000, I suppose it's because, A, interest rates are low, and also the government like people to have savings. Because if you've got savings, it means you're thinking about the future. And that's what people want to do for pensions, for example. So to encourage people to do that, they've brought in this £1,000 of savings.
And of course, you can keep your money away from the tax man. So although those interest rates and that are very low at the moment, and that there's that £1,000 threshold before you pay tax on your normal savings, there are, of course, the ISAs out there year on year. And should we say the government's been generous? But at the moment, it's £20,000 for each individual to be able to sort of trap their money away as a nest egg away from the tax man.
Yeah, I don't know the exact figures for ISAs because, again, it changes. It's like pension rules. They do change quite often. But the principle is there. Yes, the government want people to save because, A, it's money for the banks and organisations and people are thinking about the future. So ISAs were introduced a few years ago as a good way of encouraging people to save long-term. And the ISAs are generally considered to be long-term savings, so that's why they're in there. But there are limits as to how much you can put in.
And listeners should remember, of course, as well, if they remove their ISAs, they can't put them back in there. So for any 1 year, I know, say 3 years ago, my ISA, I might want to withdraw it, but I can never put it back as an ISA again. Once it's come across to me, then it goes into the taxable realm.
I think I'm right, but you have to wait till the end of the tax year and then start again from the next tax
year. Of course,
you
could always put it back again later. But
yes.
Advice to listeners, really, keep your ISAs as long as you can. Keep those tax-free savings close to your chest as long as you can.
I can't give people advice like that. No. All I can say is the rules are there. Make use of them.
Yeah, of course, we're not FSA. But I think it's fairly obvious without going to financial advice to people. But John, yes, I mean, we're coming up towards the end of what we can talk about today. We've been kind of bamboozling people. But the upper rate of taxation, what is that currently? So when we move from the 20% tax ban up to the 40% tax ban.
That's correct. If you're a basic, we call it basic rate, we call it higher rate, and then we call it additional rate. Basic rate is 20% of everything you earn above 11,500. The 40% kicks in. This is where I have to go to my figures because they're all changing every year. It kicks in at £43,000 per year.
What we're saying is that you don't, all of your £43,000 doesn't go to 40%. No, it's just that threshold.
It's tapered. Old. You have 11,500 at nothing. You have 20% up to your figure.
Between 11,500 and 43.
Then you pay 40%. And then at 150,000, it goes up to the 45%. Now, these are current figures, it must be remembered. Every year we have a budget. In fact, every November we have like a mini budget to announce what's going to happen, and they do change. And you find that there's lots of political comments made about tax rates, tax percentages. As a department, we have no involvement in that. If the rates are there, our department has to apply.
You're servants to the government, really? You just civil collect servants. The taxes on the Queen's behalf, which is really what you do. John, we're going to have to leave it there. It's been fascinating as always.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hopefully we haven't confused listeners and we've kind of let them into the world of taxation.
If I can just finish by trying to plug the personal tax personal tax account on the website, because it is something the department and government are very keen for people to do, because then they've got all their information in one place. They can go on whenever they want. If their circumstances change, they can let us know through this personal tax account, and it's fantastic.
John, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's John Burling from the Eastbrook office here in Cambridge, from Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. We'll have John back on board again very soon with some more advice and facts and figures about taxation.